You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 9, 2025, and is titled, The Lamb. We'll be starting in Exodus, so grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
All right, everybody on the inside, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm a little bit hot, Leonard, just a little bit. All right, get a little coffee in there. My squawker's a little squawky. How many of y'all listened to me at Coffee with the Colonel this morning? I could have sung the first three stanzas of Daddy Sing Bass. Yeah, it was low. Took a while to get her kind of going. And I was doing really good after the cow sale today till I got here and we started having these long-distance discussions. And anyhow, I smoked it one more time, but that'll keep me peaceful and gentle throughout the night. So, man, it's good to see everybody. You almost thought I was going to be gone. Everybody's here. And one of the things that I need to announce, Robin, where are you at? I forgot to ask you ahead of time. What time are we going to do that Sunday night on the 20th? I vote for 6 o'clock. How many of y'all want to do 6 o'clock Sunday evening on the 20th? You want it later than that? 6 o'clock, okay. Okay, Sunday evening the 20th, it'll be 6 o'clock Central Time. We'll be here. We'll talk just a little bit about communion and the Passover. We're going to sing and praise that night with the Murphs. We're going to take communion together that night, and we're going to blow the shofar. I'll talk about that just a little bit more. There's some things that I'd like to share with you guys as to what I believe is so significant about Passover this year and the blowing of the shofar on that Sunday. There's a lot of things that while discussing this with other pastors in the last little bit, some of my little group outside this building, I believe the Lord has just really been revealing to me the significance of this. But it's not all reliant on Him. This is a bilateral agreement. And so as we grow in our knowledge and willingness to participate, willingness to abstain, willingness to obey the Scriptures, we will see God operate in a mighty way in this country in the Passover. So anyhow, I'll talk about that just a little bit more. But a couple things I want to share with you just to get started here before we get the Murphs up here to sing. One of the things, when God brought the law was the revealer. The law was powerless to save anybody. But it revealed to us our state of mind, who we are. And I think there's a lot of times in America we don't want to look at that. And we've created an imagery of our own, not only about Jesus, heaven, hell, all these different things we've heard about since we was a little kid, but we even create this kind of utopic thing about the church. And as long as we're kind of all together and we're all have some semblance of like-mindedness, we deem ourselves okay. America, we're not okay. I don't care who you elected president. I shared this with Murph and I were talking today at the cow sale. We had a couple good visits at the cow sale today. We did Passover on the bleachers. It was good. But today was a pretty big revealer. You know, we've got a man in the White House who's doing his dead level best to reconcile things globally, put us on a good path. America, Donald Trump's ready to do the work. We were ready to vote for somebody to do the work. We don't want to do the work. We're ready for somebody else to do the work as long as the work doesn't affect us too much. We're gung-ho, Joe, as long as it's somebody else. Oh, gosh, America's starting to sound a lot like church. We're not careful. It's beginning to sound a lot like church. Our litmus test is the money. Here again, we're starting to sound a lot like church. You know why? Because the church is supposed to be the navigator of the whole cotton picking deal. It's been our responsibility from the beginning to hold the plumb line, hold the moral code, elevate the household, be independent, free, making our own way in covenant with God, living in joy and peace no matter whether we're going uphill or downhill. That's supposed to have been us. Pretty soon, we found somebody to do the work. Pretty soon, we create this facade of being okay. Pretty soon, the money becomes the litmus test. So today, no matter what anybody says on the news media, because 90% of them are a herd of buffoons who are driven, informed, and manipulated by the father of lies. They cannot be trusted. But tariffs worked. They worked. I'm sorry if you lost a lot of money on the stock market, but you're the guy that put it in there to start with, so God bless you. Didn't bother me none. I already had me a big dose of that. You only got to burn my big toe off one time, and I'm going to keep my shoes on. But the tariffs worked. Everybody but China came to the table. The negotiations are working. So he loosened the screws on the tariffs a little bit today, and here's going to be my point. Now, the news media, the far left, let me tell you something. Let me let you know today, if there's any politicians listening today, that if Chuck Schumer says you're doing something wrong, keep doing it because you're doing something right. He's an own son of the father, you know. And so that all being said, when they're all lambasting Trump now for saying he's pulled back on his word and he's changed his mind, and that's not how it went. They all but China came to the table, and he's talking to the Chinese as we speak. So he eased off, just like he said he did. I'm only going to put the pressure on. It's like training a horse. I'll put the pressure on, and as soon as you turn around and lick your lips, I'm going to take the pressure off. God does the same thing. I'm going to put pressure on till you turn around and lick your lips. Now I'm going to back off a little bit. What happened to Dave Murphy when he loosened the screws? I'm telling you, them son of bucks was high before lunch, but them cattle was high after lunch. Everything was up. Everything was up. You know the sad part of that? America responds to the money. And sometimes it's just too expensive to do right. Sometimes it's just too costly to do right. You know why you will never see corporate church denounce Easter? It costs too much to do right. It's the number one capitalistic religious day of the year. They won't do right. Now, you New Mexico people, take a break. Us Texans, I'm going to go first. I've not been completely aware, and I've not been very engaged in Texas politics as much as national, and I know more about New Mexico politics than I do Texas politics, because Texas has created the facade of being okay when it comes to conservative values anywhere but the metropolitan areas that are run by liberal mayors. But we give the facade of being kind of the leader in the conservative movement. We're right here in the Bible Belt. We're doing all that. Let me tell you something right now, that Austin, Texas is a poop show. And your Texas government is a poop show. What's the guy's name from Lubbock? He's a dink. And so is Ken King. And so, You know, if you've already fallen slave or fallen prey to teachers' unions, school associations, if you've already been bought and paid for, and then you put an R behind your name, yet everything you do looks like you're Chuck Schumer's own cousin, we're in trouble. So we got to fix it. We the people got to fix it. But here's my point one more time. You know why Texas has been off the radar? Because there's a facade that's created that we're okay. Here again, it looks a lot like church. Here again, it looks a lot like church. Do you know statistically that as how Texas goes, goes the nation? Do you know that we are the number one oil-producing nation on the planet? Texas is the number one oil-producing nation on the planet. Do you know what that makes Texas? The number one national security issue on the planet. It was proved at the Kilgore finds back during World War II. If you'll ask Benjamin Netanyahu what's the best safety net there is on the planet, he'll tell you it's the Permian Basin. These are all facts. As Texas goes, so goes the nation. As the church goes, so goes the nation. Don't neglect your obligations. Don't neglect your duties. Don't walk around and pretend like everything's okay. America, we're not okay. We're not willing to pay the price for doing right. The church is unwilling to pay the price for doing right. Unwilling. With no substantial argument. None whatsoever. Choose this day whom you will serve. Either God's or your father's on the other side. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua 24:24. That's all I want to say about that before we sing and praise. But more than anything, sing and self-reflect. As we continue to prepare for Passover, as soon as the singing's done, I'm going to share with you before we get in the Word tonight exactly why this is absolutely necessary. If you didn't think it was necessary by now, you would have done been out of here. Because you are swimming upstream against every institutional thing that religion has to offer. You're now guilty by association, and it's going to cost everybody something. We're coming up on a day here in just a couple weeks where now families are going to be divided, and Jesus said that's exactly how it was going to happen. We're here. He said, weigh the cost. Weigh the cost. Because following God and stepping away from the norm costs everybody something. It's not cheap to do right. So, that's all I got to say about that. Let's sing and let me pray and we'll get Murph up here. And you can get him back happy again, Murph. Lord. Just want to thank you tonight, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for all that's represented in the Passover. Thank you for our great nation. I thank you for our president and his cabinet. I thank you, Lord, for the good things that are being done. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, to watch you, follow your step, follow your lead. Lord, help us to not be fearful, to not waver. And tonight we give you all the praise and glory, Jesus. Amen.
You got me on. There we go. Steve doesn't know this, but I'm preaching tonight, and Steve and Robin are going to sing here in a little bit. So Robin, you get you a good song you want to play. You know, I was listening to Coffee the Colonel this morning, and he was talking about the lamb. And I was just sitting there with my Bible open to in Genesis. And Genesis 2, we know the story when Adam and Eve sinned, and it says and both of their eyes became open, and they knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed. And but then in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, and this is talking about God, and for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God himself sacrificed. There had never been bloodshed before until this, right, until Genesis 3:21. And God himself is the one who sacrificed an animal. And I believe that it was a lamb. In fact, I know it was a lamb. And then you go into the ark, and, you know, you say, how on earth did Noah get all of those animals, all different kinds of animals in that ark, from a mouse to an elephant? But you know, if you averaged all the kinds of animals that there are, all the mice and all the elephants and the giraffes, and you average them out, you know what it averages out to? A lamb. That's the size of a lamb. And so that they were able, so even, I mean, God was saying, he was talking about the Passover. He was preparing us for the Passover from Genesis 3. And then what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus walking down, coming into the river? He says, behold the Messiah. No, that's not what he said. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, and then did Jesus ever, I mean, and then in Revelation, see, I'm going from Genesis, I'm going to get all your stuff. And Jesus says, and they overcame, John says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Messiah, by Jesus, by the Son of God. It says, no, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. So, I mean, that really triggered something in me about a lamb. And then when, and this first song is Hosanna. And Hosanna is a word of highest praise. And it praises who Jesus is. They didn't say Hosanna to the king or the Pharaoh or the Roman Empire, you know. But they, when they said Hosanna, they were talking about the Messiah, about the Lamb of God. So, yes, sir. The whole time, from the very beginning, he has been the Lamb. And even, I mean, I go farther than this. Even when Abraham, God is going to make covenant with Abraham, and it's not make covenant, it's cut covenant. And they split a lamb right in half and laid the two sides, and each one of the parties was supposed to walk through the middle of the dead animal, and to signify, if any one of you breaks the covenant, same thing is going to happen to this lamb. But you know, Abraham never went through that. It says the Lord put him in a deep sleep, and while he was asleep, God Almighty walked in, and he made the covenant. It was him. So it was like, from the very beginning, he has been saying that the blood of the covenant, the blood of the lamb, is what this whole thing's about. And then Passover is like, we're going to talk about it tonight, about the blood of the lamb. It's our salvation. It's Jesus. So we're going to praise the Lord, because just think about him. As he came into the city of Jerusalem, fixing to on the week of Passover, knew what he was going to receive and knew what he was going to go through. And yet he did it free of charge. He said, come. We bless you that you did come out of the hills into Jerusalem. And you chose to. Because I saw it on The Chosen. I saw him coming down on that donkey. And you laid your life down. You knew what was going to happen. And we celebrated Passover that day when you shed your blood on the doorpost of our hearts so that we don't have to die. That we would never, that life would never end and death is a lie. So we bless you and we say, Hosanna, 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 just as the people did as you came in. And we say that to you tonight. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen.
Well, we're on about week four of this. Y'all have stuck around really good. It'll really start making sense starting tonight. By the time we get to next week, we'll be in the book of Joshua, a 400-year promise that's fulfilled at the crossing of the Jordan. We'll see how God operates with a man who has been obedient to God generationally, who took the mantle of what had been passed on down the deal and steps into a promise that shows you a promise that's here. That Passover was the instigating point of all that. But it was bought and paid for by a lamb. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus 12. This morning I made a misstep, but I didn't go back and correct it. I said Genesis 12 on the coffee with the Colonel this morning. I realized after I listened to it again, but it's Exodus 12 is where we're going to be, where the Passover is instituted. And I'm going to go through some of these scriptures fairly quick, so I want you to mark them down and then go home and read them again and ponder on some of these things. But here again, it's just to find Jesus in the Passover, to tie all this together and to bring us to a good place. He says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Every man take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. So here we begin to, here we codify. We're hearing that word a lot. Codify. We codify the fact that Passover is about the household. We've veered off into the weeds with the ideology of God's house. All this ministry stuff that we've kind of adopted, and we all have that mental imagery. We couldn't escape it. Passover's about the escape. Jesus is allowing us an escape from what man has taught and told us. There's a purpose in this. When it all comes to fruition, but a household. And if the household's too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Underline that. A male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. The blood of the lamb is placed over the door. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. On the 20th, we'll talk just a little bit about leaven. Most of you that have been here for very long, you already know, but that'll be a subject for a couple weeks from now. But real important. He says, the unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water. Man, that's a good idea. But roast it in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it till morning, you shall burn with fire.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.